Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. So a couple of years ago, I was at a conference, and the conference speaker, whose name was Danielle, she's a minister in the Salvation Army, and I have no idea her rank. That's a totally foreign concept to me, but she had some kind of rank. And as she was speaking, she told this story, and I wanted to share this story with you today. Basically, how the story goes is there was a gentleman in her congregation who came up to her and he told her, "Hey, listen, so we've been talking a lot about faith lately. And I've been thinking, I've been diagnosed with cancer. I'm gonna die in the next couple months. And so when I die, well, here's what I want you to do. I'm actually leaving instructions that my body is to be delivered to the church. And the day that I die, I want you to gather people together and I want you to pray for me to rise again." Now, she thought that this was a little bit of a strange request, but eventually he convinced her that, yeah, maybe this would be a good idea. And so she just kind of left it. Well, then one day the guy died. And so she, you know, received notice that the body was going to be coming to the church. And so she went, "Well, okay, I guess we're going to pray for this. This is going to happen." So she gathered people and she got them really excited and really pumped. "We're going to see a guy raise from the dead." They're all excited. Somebody phoned the media, and so the newspapers showed up to their prayer meeting around this body in their church. And then she was actually saying that one guy, he walked in and he had a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And she asked him, "What's the deal with the Kentucky Fried Chicken?" And he said, well, this was Bob's favorite meal. And so I figure, you know, when he raises from the dead, he's going to want his favorite food. And so I just brought this in faith that he's going to want to eat this. And so they're just praying and they're praying and they're praying. They're like, "God, heal him." And eventually it became kind of like a, "Please heal him. Please, like, bring him back." And basically after a while, they realized that the guy wasn't coming back. They looked at him and they're just like, "He's dead." And that's kind of the end of it. And so they ended up eating the Kentucky Fried Chicken and, you know, looked really good in the media because there they are. "We're going to see Jesus heal this guy. He's going to raise someone from the dead and he's still dead." So they're confused and kind of bummed out, but, you know, life goes on. The reason I tell you that story is we all know people that need healing. And maybe it's not that they need to be raised from the dead, but we all know people who, maybe it's yourself, maybe it's someone that you know, that you love, that needs healing. And so we start to pray for them, right? And many of us, we've seen these people, we've seen healings. Maybe it's just been an answer to prayer where they went to the doctor one day and it's like, "Your cancer's, you know, in remission." Maybe it's actually been where there was a massive mass and they went into the hospital to get it removed and they opened them up and they're like, there's nothing here. There's all kinds of things that can happen supernaturally that God can heal us. But then often we have prayed for people and we haven't seen them healed. Often we've come with great faith and great expectation. We've said, "God, this person needs your healing. Heal them, Lord." And we pray and we pray and we pray. And it just seems like it doesn't come the way that we want. On the flip side of healing, you also have this group of individuals on the television. These television healers, and you know, they oftentimes they'll say, "Okay, we're going to pass around this bucket now, and God will heal you if you give the right amount, and then you're going to come up here, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to receive healing, but only in response to your faithful giving." And then they fly around in their own private jets and have $3,000 suits and Lamborghinis and limousines. But, you know, it's all just healing. Or there's the people that say, you know, "I have the gift of healing, so let me come over and I'll lay my hands on you and you will be healed," with no mention of Jesus anywhere, no mention of the Spirit anywhere. And so for many of us, we get this distaste in our mouths I've talked with many people, Christians, who say, you know what? Yeah, it's possible that healing does actually happen, but not here. You know, it happens overseas, but it doesn't. We don't need it. That's what they say. They've just seen the corruption. They're like, the only people that are going around healing people are people that are out to take advantage of others. And so the question becomes, what do we do about these people? About these people who say, I'm going to heal you, or about these people who say, if you give enough, you'll be healed, or the people that say, if you have great faith, then God is definitely always going to heal you. You know, if you get rid of the sin in your life, then bang, you're never going to get sick and you're never going to get old. Okay, they don't usually say that because they know that's impossible, but you know, that's kind of the thing. So the question, what do we do about healing? When we pray about healing, do we truly believe that God can do it? Or is it just kind of I guess I'll hedge my bets and we'll see. If he does, cool. But I don't think he's going to. Or when we pray, are we willing to accept it when God doesn't do what we want on our timetable? Or when the healing or the answer to our prayer isn't quite what we wanted? How we wanted it to look. Are we willing to come at it this way? The last few weeks, we've been going through the book of Acts. It's a book of the Bible written by a physician named Luke, who was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, and heavily researched firsthand accounts of people's experiences in the early church and wrote them down for us in this book. It's a great resource for us to see how did the early church exist? How did it grow? How did it respond to God? And how did God work through the early church? And so we talked about how the Holy Spirit came and filled the early Christians, and they began to speak in other languages they'd never learned, and they received boldness for ministry. And elsewhere we start to read of people who have this gift of healing, and people that have a gift of prophecy, and a gift of great faith, and gifts of knowledge, and all these amazing gifts for ministry. And what we see is that as we read the book of Acts, it seems like the central thought behind it is that Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. And it's not that Spirit-filled believers are empowered to advance their own will or to advance their own reputation, but Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance the good news of Jesus, the news about Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me so that we can have life. So that we can have a relationship with God. And so the message really is that the gifts are not given to us for ourselves, but for the good of the kingdom of God. And that this miracle of Jesus dying and rising again for us is not just so that we can say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. It's not so that we can look at people and say, you're not as good as me. It's so that our hearts can break for those who have not yet come to recognize that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world. And so that we can begin to advance the kingdom, advance the good news into these places. And so what do we do about healing? I mean, Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-empowered. And one of the things that we see throughout the Bible is that people are healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verse 32 and following today. If you have your mobile device here and would like to take notes on that, you can go to ascc.life and tap on message notes, and that'll get you where you need to go. Otherwise, if you just want to follow along on the screen behind me, you can do that too. So let's read this together. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today. Now, as Peter went here and there, now Peter is one of the apostles, the lead apostle, as you will, those that followed Jesus around and were in his core group of those that got taught by him. So now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please, come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa that many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. The story of healing. Today we're going to talk about healing, but first I'd really like for us to pray together that Jesus will really show us what he wants to tell us today. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we're able to come to the Bible, this book that you've left us to teach us and to reveal yourself to us, Lord God. I ask that today that you'll really impress upon our hearts what it is that you want each of us to learn. And I know that what I've prepared may not be the thing that certain people actually learn from this message is your Spirit works within them. And Lord, that's why today I pray that you will take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you will make them something that is worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And so we see here, you know, for those that doubt that God heals people, he heals people. For those that doubt that people can be raised from the dead, he raises people from the dead. It happens. In fact, it still happens, believe it or not. And he even gifts certain people especially well to be able to know, hey, the Spirit is saying this person, we need to pray for them. We need to just say that they're going to be healed. And he gifts certain people to be able to just say, you know what? Like, when I pray for people, it seems like people get healed. Now, not every time, but just more than other people. Some people are just gifted where when they pray, people get healed. They have what we call the gift of healing. It's an amazing thing, a powerful thing. But then we wonder, well, what is it that brings about this healing? You know, I've prayed the prayer and I've had this great faith. And, you know, in the case of Danielle and her church, we gathered the media and we bought KFC in faith. We had faith and we prayed and we commanded and we poured ourselves out and nothing happened. And so what do we do? God heals, but he didn't heal this time. God heals, but with everything that we did, it seems like it just wasn't enough. And so here's what I want you to learn today is that healing requires humility. Healing requires humility. Some people think if they're just brash and bold and they go in place and they're like, "Be healed," that people are going to get healed left, right, and center. You know, people run around and they're like, "Everybody, come here. I have the gift of healing." That's right. So you come to my rallies, and at the end we'll gather people here, and I won't even pray. I'll just go, "Huh, you're going to be healed by me, because God loves me." That's not humility. That's nothing, really. I mean, look back at what we just read here. So Peter goes to this paralyzed man, Aeneas. And this guy's been bedridden for 8 years. Like, people are looking at Aeneas and they're going, "This guy is paralyzed. After 8 years, if you're not paralyzed, someone's going to catch you getting up and walking to the bathroom." But no, I mean, think about this. He's not peeing the bed. Somebody is actually helping this guy get to the bathroom. You ask that guy, is he paralyzed? He's going to be like, he better be or else I'm killing him. Right? And so Peter comes in there and he doesn't say, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ who has gifted me to heal you, I now. No, he says, Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. And you might say, well, that's a small difference, Pastor Stephen. Okay, sure. So then he goes and he comes to Tabitha, who's dead. You heard me right. She's dead. Really good lady. And she's dead. And the disciples are like, you know what? We hear Peter's nearby. He just healed a paralyzed man. Maybe he'll come and heal a dead person. I mean, Jesus did it. Maybe Peter can do it. And so Peter comes in. Now, if he was like these people you see on TV, what he might, and I'm not putting down people on TV, I'm just telling it like it is. If he was like a lot of these guys on TV, you know, he might call the news crew in and he might say, everybody gather around and watch. But that's not what he does. He's like, okay, everybody get out. Shut the door. You know, you guys go mourn somewhere else. And maybe part of it is he's like, I saw Jesus do this with that girl that was dead, and he sent everybody away, and so I'll send everybody away. I think a part of it is just he's like, I hope Jesus heals this person. And it's not me either way. So you know what? You guys just go out there. And then it's not this thing where he walks over and he's like, get up. No. He's down on his knees. And it doesn't say how long he's down on his knees, but I can just imagine the prayers coming. I mean, he's like, Lord, I've healed paralyzed people. Okay, I've healed these other people through your spirit working through me. But God, this person's dead. This person's dead, God. Only person that I've seen bring people dead back to life is you, Jesus. And so I need you. And I think at some point as he's on his knees there, he gets some kind of confirmation. It's the only thing that I can figure out, because he goes from being on his knees praying, not to getting up and laying hands and beginning. No, he turns around and he says, Tabitha, arise. And she gets up. From his knees in utter humility, having sent everyone away. There are no witnesses. Tabitha, arise. This isn't Peter. This isn't Peter going around like some of us get this sense of that, you know what, if you just have enough confidence and you claim the name of Jesus over the sickness, it will depart. No, this is he's humbly praying before God until there's a confirmation in his spirit, this is what I want you to do. And he does it obediently. Healing requires humility. At no point is this about Peter and his notoriety. It is about humble obedience to the Spirit's leading. That's all it is, plain and simple. It's humble obedience to the Spirit's leading. And so here's some questions that I want you to consider today. First of all, when you pray for healing for yourself or others, do you recognize that it's God who does the healing? Because if you think it's going to be you, meet me in my office and we'll talk. How about this one? When you pray for healing, do you recognize that his plan supersedes yours? That his plan supersedes yours? That what you think is best likely isn't what is best? That healing isn't for your benefit. It's for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And so if you've got a sore knee, it's okay to pray for the sore knee. Pray for the sore knee. But don't think it's like, because God, it's going to be such a testimony to my life if suddenly my knee doesn't hurt anymore and I can go and play racquetball again. No, it's like advancement of the kingdom of God. In the times when God says no, are you humble enough to say okay? Are you humble enough to say okay? Are you humble enough to pray expectantly in impossible situations, knowing that God may just decide to perform a miracle? How often do you hear people be like, you know what, my grandmother, she's 85 years old, she's going to die, she's got cancer, so what? And we're not going to pray for healing today, we're just going to pray for comfort. And that's great. And yeah, maybe the likelihood of somebody that is 85 being healed of cancer, maybe in our minds it's not that great. But you know what? On the flip side, maybe God's like, that doctor needs a testimony. They need to come to faith. They're, you know what? In 2 years from now, someone's going to cross that person's path. I need them to meet this person. You don't know the plans that God has in store. And so it doesn't matter how far-fetched it seems or how stupid it seems. Can you have the humility to say, if God wills it, it'll be done? So a couple things about healing requiring humility. First of all, we don't command God. He commands us. We don't command God. He commands us. How many times do you watch somebody and they're like, Jesus, heal this person? I'm sure that God just sits there like, I know that you mean well, but really, I'll heal them if I want to. Right? Like, he commands us. And so maybe if we come before God in humility and just go, God, tell me what you want me to do. How do you want me to pray? And if God wants you to say, Tabitha, arise, then maybe, just maybe, he'll lay it on your heart. But if you think the formula is that you just walk in and go, in the name of Jesus, Tabitha, arise. In the name of Jesus, you be healed. In the name of Jesus, this. I mean, you can see it from people's track record that it doesn't really work. What works is humbly obeying the Holy Spirit, listening to him, because he commands us. Here's another thing. Faith is not pompous. It's humble. And so we think, you know, I have to have enough faith so that this person's going to get healed. And if someone gets healed, it's like, yes, faith moved a mountain. Right? It's all about me, and it's all about building up my faith. But I think that, honestly, faith actually comes from humility. You know, faith doesn't have to be, I have faith that God is absolutely going to heal this person. It's faith is, God, I know that you are a healer, that you are bigger than any situation, and that I don't understand the plan that you have in store for this person or for myself. And so, God, whatever your will is, we're going to pray here today, and we fall at the feet of Jesus for whatever he has for us. Whatever he has for us. I have a feeling that someone's goofing around on the computer there. It's interesting. There's a church in India, and they've kind of taken this idea that faith requires humility to a whole new level. And one day, as they were gathering around, they recognized, you know what? We pray for people to be healed, and they get healed. But why don't we ever pray for dead people? And so they now have this thing in their church where whenever someone from their church dies, they actually gather around that person as a congregation. And for 3.5 hours, I don't know how they came up with that number, but for 3.5 hours, they pray for God to raise that person from the dead, to heal that person. Now, it's not that they're going around going, we have great faith and God is going to heal this person. It's that they have enough faith to humbly say, we don't know if death is all that there is in store for this person. It may be that even though medicine says this person is gone, that God has other plans. And so for 3.5 hours, they gather around and they pray. And then the clock chimes and they're like, he's dead. But there have been times where they've been praying and the person's like, woo, alive. Now, that's a head scratcher. This isn't 100 years ago or 2,000 years ago. This is stuff that's going on today around the world, that people are like, you're dead, but God's bigger than death. Let's pray. And if he stays dead, God wanted him. Right? What's the problem in that? I think that is the ultimate expression of humility. That you can say, we're going to pray, and if he stays dead, he stays dead. And if he lives again, cool. Why not? I'm going to start getting phone calls for me to go to the mortuary and pray for people now. Healing requires humility. That same lady, Danielle, she had prayed for that guy, you know, her whole congregation. They had the news media there, and things didn't quite work out the way that they were hoping. A couple years later, she was at a seminar, and She was in a pretty low place. That not healing had been the start of kind of a season of her life that was very low, very depressing, very wilderness experience, if you will. Where is God right now? And so as she was at that seminar, she was just overwhelmed and this, had this depression. And so she all of a sudden was like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. I know that's weird and it seems like it's not relevant, but it is. So she got up and she went to the woman's bathroom. And as she walks into the bathroom, there's a woman, blue-faced, no heartbeat, no breathing, on the floor. Dead. So she's reaching for her phone to call the ambulance, anybody, and she feels the Holy Spirit say, they're dead. Pray for them. She was like, God, we've done this. It didn't work. But she felt again, pray for them. So she began to pray for this person. I believe in her words, Ezekiel came into her mind, and she began to pray breath into that dead body. And she said as she was praying, suddenly the person sat up and just and began to breathe, and heart began to beat, and color came back into her face. They're just the two of them in the woman's washroom at a seminar. She's like, God, what are you trying to tell me? You know, we gather the troops around to pray for someone. We bring in the media. We act in faith, and you don't heal the person. And then I'm alone in the woman's bathroom, and you bring someone back from the dead. But I think a big thing that he was pointing out to her and to those that she's told the story to is that healing does require humility. It wasn't when there was all the fanfare and everyone was like, yes, this person's going to get healed. Everybody watch. Our church is the best because we've got great faith and you're all going to get saved. No, it was just somebody there and the Holy Spirit whispered and somebody obeyed. And somebody came back to life. So healing isn't about us putting on a show of how great our faith is or how hard we always pray or how in tune with God we are. Healing is all up to the Holy Spirit of Jesus. It's all up to you and I, or all that's up to you and I, is acting in humble obedience. That's it. God doesn't say if you have faith as big of a mountain, you can move a mustard seed. He says if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Why? Because he knows that you just need that little bit of faith to humbly come before him, and he moves the mountain. He moves it as he wills. And so today, if you're here and you're like, I understand this. I don't understand why God heals one person and not another, but I understand that it's not up to me. It's not about my strength. It's not about the power that I've got, but it's about God's power, and it's about humbly looking to his power. Then here's what I want you to do today, next week, and really I hope it carries on through your life, and that's this. Humble yourself and begin to pray for healing. Humble yourself. In the impossible situations, begin to pray for healing. Knowing that it's up to God at the end, but pray for healing. For the little things, pray for healing. In those things where you're just like, I really want this, God, humbly pray for healing. James 5, James, the brother of Jesus, writes, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. There is one thing that I think that when someone prays for themselves, there is one type of healing that always happens. And that's the healing of the soul. When somebody humbles themselves before Jesus and says, Jesus, my soul is sick, but I know that through you I can have life. He always answers that person's prayer. And today, if you're here and you're like, my soul is sick, and in a bit we're going to have a time for you to pray and receive healing for your soul, which comes from Jesus. In fact, if you're at a place where you're like, I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him, your soul has just been healed. And today, as we close, in just a moment, I'm going to invite Eva and anyone from the Pastor's Council that would like to come up. And as the music team begins to play a song, we're going to open up this front area here. We call it the altar. And we're going to begin to pray for people for healing, humbly, and expectantly. And just as it says here, we're going to pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And we're going to see what Jesus is going to do.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.